This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Good team on paper on FUBAR Radio. Coming to you live from FUBAR HQ, the show all about fantasy football. This is Good Team on Paper. Introducing our expert, Rob, the football know-it-all.
And I go back to the days where you could do fantasy football, where you named your own team and you got a 20-page printout. But other than that, I don't know a huge amount about fantasy football.
Deck, the fantasy legend.
Week 7, 8 and 9, top 6,000 in the world.
Bundo, the stats man.
Yeah, so I'm Stato. I'm the person who knows the most about fantasy football, so my word is the end of it.
And Mike, the producer.
Just so you know, I'm Mike. I have no idea what we're talking about. No idea what fantasy football, or even what football is. Football is, football is.
37 shows. 38 game weeks. 250-ish ciders drunk on air. 380 matches. One special guest. Over 34,000 minutes of football played. 41,278 points in our mini league. Seven pies eaten by Matt. Welcome to the Good Team on Paper review of the season.
Welcome to the review of the season!
That was beautiful.
That was absolutely stunning. I literally had a tear in my eye listening to that. Looking back, 37 shows.
Seriously emotional stuff, guys.
It upsets me that I ever said, other than that, I don't know that much. Yeah. It upsets me that I ever said that.
It's on record. Now that represents your time on the show. Whereas mine is a thrusting alpha male claim to the Stato middle ground.
We are missing Deck, unfortunately, today, tragically. But we are here to do the review of the season.
Would you like me to start? Yeah. I'm actually so overwhelmed I can hardly speak. I just want to say thank you for anybody who's listened in to any of the 37 shows. We really appreciate it. Even if it was only for 10 minutes and you meant to be clicking on Hannah Witten, welcome. So, what we're going to be doing today is we're going to be looking through the dream team for the whole season, some of the stats for all the players for the entire league, which should be statastic. We're also going to be going through our little awards in true Good Team on Paper style, some of the players that we think deserve recognition above the top scorers, and we'll be looking back at some of favourite moments from seasons past as well, not just this season, because we're old people and we believe the past was better than the present.
And I'll be doing as I'm told.
You're keeping to brief, very
sort of.
You've even got a stopwatch there. It's very good. I hear that you've been doing some stats this week, Rob, as well.
I've nerded out just for you. And so later on I'll be discussing value, because I am, after all, a Yorkshireman.
Oh, that is very good.
I've done my stats. They were in the intro.
Have you done some stats? Oh, yeah, in the intro. Yeah, so they were very stunning, yes. I mean, I'm glad it's only taken 36 shows for us to share the load.
We didn't want to set an example.
That's true. Like, it turns out that you're all incredibly talented broadcasters with lots of ideas to contribute. It's almost as if this has been some kind of egomaniac-led stats-based show, just led by me. I didn't realise it had done that. But then that's like all dictatorships, isn't it? You don't realise that they're happening until you're right in it. That's what Corbyn's going to be like, I hear. We need Deccan's politics show here, that's what we need.
Do you want to do a dream team for the whole of the season?
It would give me great pleasure.
The dream team!
For the whole of the season!
The whole of the season. So, you could have got, this is from a starting 11 only, if you hadn't made any substitution or transfers at all, or played any chips, you could have got 2,249 points. Still a bit of a dream, isn't it? It kind of makes you think, why didn't I just pick 11 players from the start and then leave with it?
As you'll hear later, though, that's from a fantasy team that is actually technically unaffordable.
Oh, interesting. Yes, because you couldn't have fed them all in due to the... Oh, yes.
Whereas I deal with affordability people.
Oh, we are off on a stat journey.
I am in... what's the thing we're in?
a radio show.
No, the thing about not spending money.
Austerity.
That's why you're here.
I'm in austerity Britain.
There we are.
Anyway, Dream Team.
This is the austerity of comedy that we're going by the long haul cold
good
midwinter.
God, and I'm a writer.
No, there's good stuff in here. I promise, listeners. There's at least one bit. Page 7 was an absolute cracker.
Yeah.
So going from front to back, Heaton in goal, 149 points.
Back to front.
Back to front.
If Tom Heaton's your striker, you're fucked.
That is true, yeah. It's my unorthodox. This is good formation on paper. Yeah. Well, we've got, unfortunately, still in goal. I reckon he'd be quite good with his feet, Tom Heaton, 149.
He's not often beaten.
That is true. And he deserves a poem about it.
I did write one, it wasn't great.
I remember, show two. We were really hitting our stride then, weren't we?
Yeah.
So we've got Heaton in goal. In defence, we've got Cahill, Alonso, and Ascapuleta, easy for you to say.
Tim Cahill.
So three Chelsea defenders, no surprise, in the Dream Team. Then midfield, a packed five-man midfield. We've got Alexis Sanchez, 264, Ali, 225, or what is he, Posh Meat Chop Dinner?
Yeah.
Probably my favourite moment of the entire show.
Posh Fancy Meat Shop Ginnell.
That is it. Definitely. That deserves to be a hashtag. And we've got Eden Hazard and Mill 224, Christian Eriksen, Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah.
And we've got up front, unsurprisingly, Kane, but perhaps a little bit surprisingly, Lukaku.
Well, don't forget, I mean, until the last week of the season, it was neck and neck for who was going to get the golden boot. And then Harry Kane scored 8 goals in 3 games.
And that brings me to my point.
Ooh.
Ruining the entire game.
Footballers doing what they're capable of.
In the last 2 weeks, a lot of factors came together, and that is the chip system, the triple captain system, which I think I'm going to talk about has become a blight on the game. But that end flurry basically meant that anybody who didn't have them in kind of went off the pace, and we lost a lot of good managers out there. You know, there should be no manager left behind. But
yeah.
And I mean, Sanchez got 264 points. That's astonishing. As we come on to later, he's actually one of the top Dream Teams ever. That's the greatest scores ever, and across the entire history of the Premier League. And Kane, as you say, coming through very late. And I've forgotten actually, he had about 8 weeks out.
Yep.
And he's still in the Golden Boot.
He only played 30 games.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, it's a remarkable return. But as I said last week as well, he only scored in 16 games.
Yeah.
So to return 29 goals from those 16 games is very impressive. If I was being hypercritical, I'd like to see him score in more games.
Yeah, it needs to spread.
Had he scored in more games, we'd be talking about Tottenham as champions.
It's very fair. Yeah.
But you know, he scored 29 goals. It's clearly not his fault that Tottenham aren't champions.
I think it's an interesting thing though when you're on that point about when to score the goals, because I was looking at the stat that Diego Costa, his goals have been worth more points to his team, so they gained 15 more points, Chelsea, because of his decisive goals in big games where he'd been
one down. Well, he rarely gets, I mean, more often than not, he gets a single goal, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But it's the goal that
matters. The decisive one. I think it's only been, I think, Josh King for Bournemouth. Is up there and one other, which I'll look into later. But that just shows you can make an argument if you took away this Dream Team of who the most decisive players are. You know, who are the I think Aguero is actually the second, another one who gets the clinical goals when you need it. So
and briefly going back to Diego Costa, obviously earlier in the season we had the
Costagate.
Is he the most influential player in fantasy football?
Indeed.
Because he should have been sent off, etc. And then we had the late charge from Marcus Rojo, who I think took the title for this season, because he should have missed 10 games through suspension.
Yep.
And he didn't actually miss any. Unbelievably.
Yeah.
But last week of the season, Diego Costa said, I'm taking this for next year. because he elbowed that lad in the face, didn't he?
Mm.
And didn't get sent off. So he should be missing the first three matches of next season.
Oh, an early bid for MVP. I love that.
He is going in hot.
That is nice. I love that. Most significant moment of the future season so far. That is superb.
That is, of course, assuming that he's not playing for Guangzhou for 600 grand a week.
Yeah, just millions a week. Or going back to Atletico in Madrid, where I'm sure he'd be most welcome. Fernando Torres, of course, went back there.
So, and did well again.
They've got a history of rehabilitating strikers who are over the hill and overpaid.
But I'd like to say, if Kane didn't have his injury, you'd be complaining all through the season, going, he's ruined the game for us. He's ruined the game. But throughout the last 3 or 4 weeks, he was just gone, yeah.
I think it's the timing of those points. And as I say, I've got a bit of a chip on my shoulder, ha ha ha, about the chips.
Very good.
Hashtag FPL.
Yeah.
And because I think the triple captain in particular skews the contribution of one player too much. And I know it's kind of a game of chance. It gives a bit of an excitement. It's like, I think we were talking about Formula One scoring, where they doubled the amount of points didn't they, for one race, but then forgot that they were doing it for everyone, and it was still the same equivalent.
Yeah.
No, it's that kind of thing. But I think that it's skewed too many things. I think it's ruined a lot of things towards the end. Whereas if they got rid of the captain policy, which you have on a lot of games, there's no captain. We're talking about fantasypremierleague.com, of course.
Yes.
So they don't have a captain on the Telegraph. They don't have a captain in a lot of the auction leagues. It is an anomaly of this game, and I think it needs to be removed. And I'm going to start a campaign right here, right now, to remove at least the triple captain feature, and ideally the captain feature, to make it fair.
Here's my perspective. Your players like Alexis Sanchez and Harry Kane are undervalued.
In what way?
In the because Alexis Sanchez at the start of this season. It was absolutely nailed on that there were two players that I would have bet my house on being very high scoring: Alexis Sanchez, Sergio Aguero, because they've shown it year in, year out. So they should cost 15 million.
Mm.
If you're having to blow that much of your budget, 15% of your budget on one player, that means you have to make sacrifices further down the line, and then all of a sudden, Sanchez isn't owned by 33% of all teams.
It's astonishing, isn't it, when he gets to that point?
Because it nullifies the whole point in having him. You don't gain by having him, all you do is maintain.
Yeah.
People like Sanchez, though, because he's technically a midfielder, he's getting more points anyway, isn't he?
He is. Thing is, like you say, he's technically a midfielder, but he's not. He's a number 10.
Yeah.
And in a system that doesn't necessarily play with a striker at all, having him listed as a midfielder is, I think, an error.
It's interesting. I mean, Dele Alli is, you know, he's given a license to Rome. He's got a bit of a free will. So
but he is a box-to-box player.
Yeah.
That's a different thing, I think.
No, I think you're great. When they signed Sanchez, in my mind, he was signed as a striker. Come winger,
yeah,
striker first, like, you know, didn't need to be converted out there. But is that him? He's texting in, going, "I'll have you know,
it's
a high-class midfielder."
My mom is texting in saying, "Yep, you got a point."
Yeah, she is. Yeah, that's actually the first fan interaction we've had in many weeks.
But no, I agree with you to an extent. I think though that the point with any game is you want to keep as many people interested for as long as possible.
Yeah.
And the triple captain allows that.
I think that as we've taken a different tack with this show of trying to make less and less people interested for a shorter and shorter period of time, you know, that is a direction that we should have thought of.
Yes.
I look for one of the other things I was thinking is, interestingly, they could do this where, you know, we tried to set up our different scoring system. We tried to set up fancy Premier League golf.
Yep.
If we had several hundred thousand pounds and a software engineer, that could be the hit game of next season.
I think it could be. It wouldn't even say that. We were talking the weekend about the fact I used to run the fancy league at my work using a spreadsheet of my own creation.
Right.
Equals sum, open brackets, player score times by this. I won't go into the detail.
Hashtag Excel users.
This would make a great 10-minute segment of me describing the Excel algebra required to make the spreadsheet. Now, listeners, move on to A2.
Make sure you've got equals in there.
Make sure you've got equals in there. You don't want to end up with a failed cross-reference. I think that there are interesting ways of scoring things differently that perhaps Premier League, Fantasy Premier League should look into, because you see, you want to keep people interested. Maybe there's different monthly spot competition where you can do it a different way. I've got an interesting view on how the tennis ratings are done, how that could apply, because it's a bit weird in tennis, but you defend the points that you earned last year. So if you did well in a certain tournament, you've got to do well this one.
So if you reach the final, then you've got to at least reach the quarters in order to not lose your points.
Absolutely. So that could be an interesting... Not a handicap.
But it's too complicated for punters, though, isn't it? That's the thing.
It's not too complicated for me.
No, but you're a stats nerd.
I'm trying to...
You created your own spreadsheet.
I'm trying to lay the dice in my favour. I want the most complicated... most difficult to understand version of this game.
If you want to load the dice in your favour, you should start selecting players from the top four.
The thought had crossed my mind.
You should be playing the game properly. Their rules, not yours.
I was giving myself a Wenger-style debrief of Stan Kroenke. That was my...
Just putting my hand up here to make another point about this fantasy team.
Yes.
You couldn't have this fantasy team.
Why?
Not only would you not be able to afford it, it's got four Chelsea players in it.
It's got five Chelsea players in it.
No, it hasn't.
No, it's got four.
It's got four.
The
three defenders and Eden Hazard.
Ah, I was looking at blue. I'm turning into you. I was looking at the dark blue.
That Everton shirt looks very similar to a Chelsea one.
You're right. So the entire dream team for the whole season is completely null and void.
Mm.
Well, that was a good 2 hours I spent looking through that.
Well, no, but that's as they have it, isn't it? Mm.
It's an interesting thing. So the top, let's go about what is possible then. So the winning manager of the whole game was a very talented gentleman called Ben Crabtree. And he had his team FC Crabdog.
Yeah, standard.
He put a lot of effort into the stats, not a lot of effort into the game.
They're dancing on the streets of Crabdog tonight.
That is great. We should actually message him in some way and offer him, because I bet he's looking for some kind of extra lauding.
What is the prize? Is it just glory? Do you win a vase like
money.
Mastermind, or do you get 100 grand? Or
it's money, and it is. I think it's tickets to a Premier League, like a lot of tickets to Premier League games, and a T-shirt.
I think you should get a pair of tickets to every Premier League game of next season.
You get a night out with your Sky
and,
Sports
and an
news.
eBay account.
You get a night out with your Sky Sports news presenter of choice.
Okay,
mine would be Jeff Stelling.
Yeah,
but that's not taking it in the spirit it's intended.
I'd be going out with Kamara and go, someone's just fallen over there, and he'll go, have they? What? Have they?
What a dinner that would be.
That, by the way, Mike, is a great reference for anyone who watches Soccer Saturday.
Yeah. Don't worry, I know who he is. He was in our original intro, remember?
He was actually watching a game and missed a sending off.
Yes. No.
His only job was to watch the game and relay what's happening. Mm. They've sent someone off, have they? I didn't see that.
That
what?
Was his job.
I watched that clip. And I was trying to actually find lots of Chris Kamara clips to put into the show at one point, but I couldn't find them.
Stop talking about old Leeds players. Let's move on.
Yes. We don't want to do that again.
Yeah.
But he got, Ben Crabtree, he got 2,564.
That is remarkable. Yeah,
considering
isn't it?
That the best possibility was saying it couldn't be picked. But even if you had just started with the top stop starting 11 and you kept it going through, in theory you get 2,249 still.
But that is a case of making the right substitutions,
the right captains as well,
chopping and changing the right people, like having Mane in when he's on form, and then switching him out for, because like when Kane got injured, if you put Mane in and then when Mane went off to the African Cup of Nations, put Kane back in. Yes. I think that would have kind of worked. Maybe.
Yeah, that would have worked. Yeah, around that.
And there, that in itself was worth an extra 70 or 80 points.
He's in many ways typified.
Your idol?
He's typified the kind of tactics that we've been stating people should follow, but then not following ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. that's a good thing. But next year I am going to play properly. I'm actually going to do two teams, I think. One that plays properly, one is, it'll be twice the effort but also half the enjoyment.
So that'll be a double whammy.
That'll be worth it. I was looking about whether any of these players would have been in my first 11 at the start of the season. Not in mine, but I think in general. And to be honest, you know, they are the usual suspects in that. I was looking for ones who, I think Tom Heaton is the only one who would be a surprise.
Yeah.
But you would have been looking quite heavily at a goalkeeper who has a lot of saves to make and perhaps who could keep. And you knew that Burnley have a good record.
It's not the biggest surprise, is it? That he, I mean, he did do well last season as well.
Yeah. And England's number one?
I think there's a good argument for it.
Yeah, he wouldn't have got turned away from Torino, would he? They would have welcomed him.
We haven't got an obvious number one.
Jordan Pickford.
Again, he's got a good shout for it. There's no standout candidate. And by the way, Gareth Southgate, if you're listening, if you drop the England captain, give him a call first. It's just manners.
Yeah, that is, isn't it? Nice manners.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, Wayne Rooney probably hasn't deserved to be in the England side, not in the team. He deserves to be in the squad because he's still one of our best players.
And he's an inspirational figure for the youngsters around.
He probably hasn't deserved his starting spot for a couple of years. Doesn't matter. He's the England captain. If you're going to drop him, you give him a phone call. It's just decency.
That's what I do. I like to dump people face to face.
Yeah.
And that's for a lengthy court battle, as it would be now.
Or I'm more of the Phil Collins approach, where he divorced his wife over facts.
That's all lies. Yeah. That is old not school. True.
But it was like that. He was trying
to dispute.
Because apparently he was on Boxing Day
me on air.
He was going to get transferred in by Harry Redknapp. But some kind of faxes just went the wrong way. Yeah. He said the deal's fallen through, and his wife took it in the wrong way.
Yeah,
it's terrible. That's how marriages end.
Okay.
With a whimper.
And what you're saying here about people you might expect to be in there, I think you'd definitely say Coutinho was one of the players of the season.
Yeah, just out a little bit too much to get in there. Sigurdsson.
And he's playing for a patchy Liverpool side who,
that's true,
1 week are brilliant and the next week are, you know, look like strangers.
Absolutely, it's been a roller coaster ride. Liverpool. I'm going to talk about whether the quality of the various squads later, but I think Sigurdsson, he was 9th overall, which I think is an astonishing achievement for a guy playing for Swansea. How he went on to Spurs and then got sent back, but there's rumours about him going to Everton. I think, you know, Deck and all the other Everton fans would be thrilled with that.
Yeah,
it'd be perfect. Maybe Barkley going out and Sigurdsson coming in. That'd probably be an upgrade.
I think when a player shows in two separate seasons at one club that he can do a great job in the Premier League, then it suggests to me that he wasn't used properly at Spurs.
I mean, I think there's some other players who deserve a mention. Josh King, I think, has been astonishing throughout the season. Amazingly, never in my fantasy team, despite being a top scorer from outside the top four.
He stayed in mine for the whole back end.
I didn't fancy him, even when he was 15 goals in. Just didn't fancy him, you know. And then I think, astonishingly, in the top 20 in the whole game, Jermaine Defoe. Still doing it. 166 points. He's also...
Why did you let him go, Toronto?
They'll be dancing on the streets. No, they won't. He's actually also in the top... I think he's about 11th on the most minutes played.
Wow.
The entire season. For a striker who is just there to stand and put it in, and he's, I would imagine, 54.
Yeah, and who's he going to be signing? Bournemouth? Is he going back to Bournemouth?
That would be
great. Are the rumours true?
I think that'd be great if he went there. Yeah, there's a lot of rumours swirling around.
Because your team, the old Irons there, they've signed Zabaleta, haven't they, on a free?
Yeah, that's just the kind of high-pressing attacker that we need down at the London Stadium.
No, don't knock it. Zabaleta is a high-quality defender.
But they've actually got two decent fullbacks. They've got young Sam Byron, who deserves a bit of a look-in. And
can we stop talking about former Leeds players? Seriously, it's like you guys ever want to do is talk about Leeds.
I'm sorry, I just keep forcing you into it, and it's my fault each time. But
what I really like about Sam Byram is, had he stayed at Leeds, he would still be worthy of a Premier League move. Yes, he wouldn't have as much cash in his pocket, but he wouldn't have spent the last 18 months getting splinters in his arse.
Yeah, that's true. And he is, considering the quality of football I've seen on display on the pitch. I mean, we've talked about the quality of pies in the kitchen, and let's not take that away from a brave West Ham kitchen side. but they on the pitch, to have anybody of that quality who can come in and be top is at least worth a go. You might as well get some young kids in who are at least broadly entertaining. Mm. I've got another interesting stat attack for the season. If we're looking at what might have been.
Right. Kevin, Jimmy Greaves.
If Jimmy Greaves had still been an active player... And what a season.
He'd have scored
a lot
of points.
Oh, coming off the wing for West Brom. Incredible. Kevin the Brown.
Yes.
He hit the woodwork 9 times. So if all of those.
Needs to improve his shooting accuracy, doesn't he?
That's the thing. If all of those went in, just imagine he would have. Can't do the math, several more points.
Yes.
Well, it's that kind of stat that we're looking for. Several more.
My good friend Ben has a real bee in his bonnet. And they're dying out.
They are.
Bees.
Yeah, we need to support the proliferation of natural bonnets in the world.
Yeah, he's got a real bee in his bonnet about when they go, oh, that's unlucky when someone hits the post. Because as he quite rightly points out, it's not unlucky, you've missed.
Yeah.
It's unlucky if you hit the very, very inside of the post and it rolls along the line and back out.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's not bad luck, it's bad accuracy.
It's got a point there.
Yeah, it's like in tennis where there's always the kind of granny's going, oh, or screaming when it hits the tape.
Yeah.
And just rolls over. It's the exact same scenario as if it'd gone over or not. You know, it's just feel. It's there. It's a little bit of extra.
And another commentator thing is he hit that too well. No, he really didn't.
No, he did not. He did not.
If you hit it, you can't hit anything too well because that's. Yeah. The perfect amount of well is as well as it is possible to hit it.
Yeah. Mike, have you ever hit any of the buttons during the show too well?
Last week I hit play number 1 3 times and it didn't trigger, so I hit it too well then.
You hit it too well. It's the anticipation that's the best part of your game.
But if you were reaching for stat attack and you hit that, you just caught the edge of Aguero, right? That wouldn't be unlucky. That'd be bad workmanship.
That happens quite a lot.
Yeah. That end of season debrief is going to be some strong words.
I know you do. That's why I brought it up.
So what I want to do.
One of us said something we shouldn't have said. We apologise.
Connie Lingers.
Oh, we got so far into the show. So I'm going to whiz through. So we've done a bit of a sweep of the stats, haven't we?
Of
players in different categories.
Yeah.
Not a lot of great radio to be had from it.
But, no.
You know, it turns out.
Yeah.
A few screen grabs in. But some interesting facts. So we talked about Tom Heaton versus Jordan Pickford. They are number 1 and number 2 in total saves for the season. It shows the benefit of actually picking a player from a not a top quality side, because you've got Heaton, Pickford, Fabianski, Gomez, and then particularly Peter Cech. And it's interesting
that
even in one game, so I don't know if you remember this, one of the best matches, even though it was a 0-0 we saw all season. Do you remember against Man United when he basically single-handedly
turned back the tide? It was remarkable. They're 25, 28 shots on target or something.
Yeah.
I actually brought it up, I believe.
I believe you did, and I was looking back at the show, seeing what I could steal of your insights, and this was it. So they had the most... Manchester United had the most shots by any team in a single game all season. They had 38 shots, and they saved them all. 38 shots on target, and they saved them all.
They need to put them in better places.
that's what they need to do.
Yeah,
but he was on the inspired form. There were times when Jordan Pickford seemed to be single-handedly trying to make David Moyes not look like a haunted old man from a theme park.
God, I'm so excited about when I tell you my stats. I'm just so excited. It's like watching your kid get its first Christmas.
Awesome. That's it. No, so in penalty saves, which is the other great goalkeeper thing. So we've got only 3 keepers out, 2 each. That's Boric, Stecklenburg for Everton, who's awful, and Jakubovic, who is, I think, on the road to better things from Hull. He should be kept by somebody. Mignolet as well. So there was a 4th. I just sometimes forget about Simon Mignolet as most Liverpool
fans. As a keeper.
Yeah, most Liverpool fans try to do. But
He's a body that fills a shirt.
That is it. And he doesn't even do that particularly well.
Yeah.
So missed penalties, looking at some of the worst performances. So Christian Benteke and Mahrez missed 2 each. Mahrez is one who you would have picked probably at the start of the season, done absolutely nothing all the way through.
And he's determined to do absolutely nothing for a different club next season. He's handed in a transfer request today.
Do you think he should have gone at the end, do you think him and Vardy should have gone on to better clubs and let's see how they would have done, or do you think they were right to stay and do it?
I think, much like Ranieri, everyone should have stayed at Leicester and completed the seat. And yeah, the journey, once you become champions, your journey has another season to go.
Do you think that Kante can sleep at night?
I think he probably is quite comfortable, yes.
In a very small single bed.
Yeah, back-to-back title tends to do that for you.
I've always thought about Kante just being like tucked up in bed. He's like so little, and anyway, with his little sleeping cap on and being read a little nighttime story by Kante.
The thing for me is he's almost a direct replacement for Ramirez. And I'm not sure why they got rid of Ramirez, because I thought Ramirez was brilliant.
Yeah, sorry, I thought you were referring to Funes Mori's glory stories. I don't know why I kind of say that there. Ramirez, no. That's a very
highlights of the season.
Sketches only we remember. we've got, and then own goals, looking at our kind of our ghoulish gallery of the damned. So Tyrone Mings, he got two. Ben Mee, interesting Ben Mee for Burnley. Their player of the season.
Right.
This year. Always plays week in, week out. Always gets the odd header. I saw him play a few times. He's one of those ones who are top professional, top bloke. But you look at him sometimes and think, bloody hell, you're a liability sometimes. Yeah. And he scored two own goals. But he is, you've got to respect him for being a brave, incredibly white blonde, almost right. Albino S player, operating at higher echelons of the game in a Burnley home game where he's trying to single-handedly hold back Chelsea, as he was when I saw him. But Robert Hoof as well is going to. He's always been a bit. In fact, Hoof and Shawcross both done two own goals. If you had to pick a centre back pairing of cart horses,
yeah. Well, if you, that's your old fashioned centre half pairing, isn't it?
That is. Hook them up to a Budweiser van. Let them
yeah.
go. And then finally, in my ghoulish Hall of the Damned, red cards. So we got Chaka Khan.
Yeah.
He got two. Fernandinho. Whatever happened to him?
Well, he plays with Fernando as well, doesn't
yeah.
he? And they look very similar.
Yeah, it's
like deliberately confusing. It's like had Spurs, because you know Spurs signed Moussa Dembélé from Fulham.
Yeah,
and then last transfer window they tried to sign Moussa Dembélé from Fulham. And if they'd had two Moussa Dembélés in their team. It's deliberately confusing.
Isn't that like Highlander, where there can only be one?
Yeah.
And like they have to fight to the death?
Yeah, and I think that's what happened to Moussa Dembélé Mark II.
Oh.
Yeah, well, he got sent to Scotland, same difference.
That's the same, isn't it?
But, yeah.
Got two Pentekes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, Jonathan. Everyone remembers old Jonathan's action.
They do travel by two by two. That's how the players do it nowadays, just little clones. But
and the Britos Empire as well.
Britos
he got
Empire,
two,
yeah.
didn't he?
Do you think Fernandinho and Fernando, that does sound like a fantastic Spanish vocal duo. Amazing if it was a vocal
yeah,
trio.
Yeah.
That's the joke from them. Oh, yeah, I get it now. Well done, Fernando, Fernandinho. You got even me. But yeah, two each with that. And then we've got some stats about the best players. So we've got been looking at times in the dream team, Sanchez and Kane.
Shall we do those after a break? Because I can tell that Mike is.
I was going to say, Matt, do you want to do it in a form of a stat attack?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, shall we do it after a break then?
Yeah, go on then.
See you after the break.
Good team on paper on FUBAR Radio.
On your way home, are you? We know the deal. Late finish your work, dinner from anything left in the fridge, sex with the same attractive young wife. But what if you want something different? Something older? Something that won't bite? Well, you can always get what you really want with Deliveroony, the octogenarian working girl delivery service. Gum jobs, rim jobs, and shaky Parkinson's hand jobs. Everything you need for the perfect night in. Now also delivering Werther's Originals, hair plugs, and super injunctions. Download the app today.
You've seen it in the Sky Sports adverts. Now experience it in the flesh. The Premier League live in concert. John Motson will be conducting the London Philharmonic Orchestra with special guests Ian Wright on bassoon and Thierry Henry on double bass.
Hello, I'm John Motson, and I'm quite certain that the event in this marvellous stadium will not let them down.
Tickets are going fast. Book now for this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The Premier League, live, all this season at the O2. Due to popular demand, we've added extra dates. From this season, you'll be able to experience the magic of the Premier League live in concert on alternating Fridays and Mondays. Book your tickets now to see the Allens, Shearer and Hansen on percussion, alongside Jonathan Pearce on flute. Plus, on the 23rd of January, coming out of a 20-year retirement, Eric Cantona will be returning to the Premier League for a one-time-only performance of I Kicked a Boy and I Liked It.
Today, self-appointed Commissioner of Football wants to say thank you.
Tickets are flying out the stadium. Book now for this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The Premier League, live in concert, all this season.
Let it go. Let it go.
Next week, serialised in the Daily Mirror, the new autobiography from the Senegalese international who's taking the Premier League by storm. It's flying up the top seller list as fast as he flies up the wing. Yes, it's Mané on Mané, the real story of Sadio. It's a warts and all story as we show you the Mané behind the headlines. It's all about the Mané, Mané, Mané. It's all about the Mané, Mané, Mané. That's Mané in the Mirror on Monday.
Good team on paper on FUBAR Radio.
Whilst during the break, Matt decided to take us through the ICT Insect Index again, which if you really want to hear what that's all about, go back to one of the earlier shows where we didn't have a clue then either.
Or on GTOP Extra, the new spin-off show hosted by Jose Mourinho.
Yeah, and, if Carol Vorderman.
If you're looking for something to fall asleep to, the ICT Index and working out what exactly it's all about.
It is astonishingly dull. And when you look through it, what they've
And the threat index has been downgraded to severe, hasn't it?
Well, it certainly has with Mesut Ozil at the end of the season. We were looking through it and we were trying to find something interesting to say. It basically comes to the fact that what they've done is they've just listed the best players who got the most points in the ICT index. It's not... Because they could put anything, couldn't they?
Yeah.
They've basically just copy and pasted it over. Nobody's going to keep track of the changes.
Yeah, it's like the only two people who ever understand the Duckworth-Lewis system are Mr. Duckworth and Mr. Lewis.
Yeah.
And they're there
counting
their cash pile.
I mean, I have worked out Duckworth-Lewis based scoring on...
But it's a very
equivalent before, but
the actual algorithm.
Yeah.
You know, it's... Anyway,
it's based on a reference of past games on an average that doesn't apply to the modern game but can be updated.
Yes.
So, stats.
Yeah.
You're going to
stat attack.
You're going to outstat me, Cromwell, are you?
I'm going to stat the shit out of your
You've
ass.
You've got no chance on this earth, myself.
Okay, so I was thinking, what is the actual deal with this game? And it's about value for money.
Fact.
Yeah, because obviously you cannot have... You've got to have, 16 players? No, 15 players. No? Yes, 15 players. Good Lord.
It's up to a great start. It's insane.
You've got to have 15 players. You cannot have every...
16.
You can't have the most expensive...
17.
You can't have the most expensive 15 players. So you've got to mix and match to suit your wallet.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also we pointed out some of the prices are... ludicrously low, so you can end up with a team which is beyond what you usually could in other scoring systems.
Yeah.
But your point is valid.
Yes, and so I decided to have a look at which players represented the best value for money.
Mm.
And the way you do that is you take the cost of them at the start of the season.
Yep.
And you divide that by the number of points, and that gives you a pounds per point value.
Right.
And what I found out...
So you took it at the beginning of the season, not at the end of the season?
No, their cost at the beginning of the season is the only one that counts for this because...
Yeah.
Because. Because why wouldn't it? And what it actually revealed is that strikers are ridiculously poor value. They're terrible value.
Can we guess who is the best value?
I mean, I've been extolling the virtues of a 5-4-1, you know, for the entire season, saying that that is the formation strikers are something you can do without, because defenders will value for money wise do it best.
In terms of cash money value, yes. If you got points for having money in the bank, which it, there is an argument to suggest that there's something to be done there.
It's interesting because we're going to look at that after this, yeah, aren't we? We're going to talk about the ways in which your team could be valued.
But if you got points for cash in the bank, then yeah, yes, absolutely. But it's all about how you structure your midfield, really.
Yeah. Best. But so you want us to guess.
So yeah, if I tell you that the player, I only looked at players who scored over 100 points.
Okay.
Because
life's too short, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, the player with the best pound per point ratio.
Do you have a guess?
Has a pound per point ratio. His points each cost £30,201.
Are they in the dream team?
They are in the dream team.
Oh, Tom Heaton.
It's big Tom Heaton.
That is amazing.
Each cost 30,000.
Of course, because he's like 4.2 million or something like that, wasn't he?
He cost 4.5 at the start of the season.
So if that was like one of those cash for goals bonus systems,
yeah,
when that guy used to be paid in pies, then he would be on a serious amount of pies.
Well, to put that into some perspective, we were talking about Riyad Mahrez.
Yeah.
Right? How much do you think his 120 points cost each?
His 120 points.
He scored 120 points at a cost per point of £79,166.
Okay. That's quite high, isn't it?
That's ridiculously high. And also up there in that region, you've got Aguero. His points cost over 74 grand each.
But he also got... Did he get sent off? Yeah, he got a red card at one point.
Yeah, he did. But I mean, he finished with 175 points, yeah, which is great. But they each cost 74 grand. That isn't value.
No
matter how you wrap it up. Pogba's points cost 73 grand.
Well, Pogba's been quite useless all season, hasn't he?
Ibrahimovic, his points cost 70 grand, and he got 163 points. So the point is that you can score quite a lot of points, but if you're wanting balance across, if you're wanting to score a lot of points, you need to balance your team. So, the value 11, just going on the best...
Oh, I love this.
Just going on the best. The back four is the same as the dream team.
Oh!
Apart from there were three.
Well,
goalkeeper.
So, we're playing a 4-5-1 formation in the value 11.
Got you.
Right? So, it is Cahill, Alonso, Azpilicueta. It's also Gareth McCauley.
Yes!
His points cost 34 grand apiece.
Yes, worth every penny. Love
right. The midfield, Josh King.
Nice, yeah, fair.
A remarkable for an outfield player. He's the best value outfield player by about 3 grand a point.
Nobody saw him coming, did they? A Norwegian international playing for Bournemouth, come on.
£30,899 per point.
I want to rub
Josh
that
King.
Over my body. That is superb.
Etienne Capoue. Wilfred Zaha. Oh,
I love a bit of Zaha.
Dele Alli.
Yes.
Christian Eriksen.
Oh, more.
And Romelu Lukaku is the best value striker at 40 grand, 724
Interesting.
Quid per point. Interesting.
Where does Kane come into that?
Well, so...
I'm glad you asked that, Michael.
That starting 11 would have cost you 64.5 million quid at
Fuck
the start
me.
Of the season. Right, and that would have accrued you 1,927 points.
That's
so that gives you 35 million to play with.
Yeah.
So here's how I played with it. Right.
Did you work out how many biscuits we could buy?
Etienne Capoue only scored 131 points. Right. So you're binned. In comes Sanchez. Right, who scored his points at 41 grand a pop, but he scored so fucking many of them.
It's worth the extra outlay.
Yeah.
You get what you pay for. You know, you go for a normal classic T-shirt, but you jazz it up with a posh watch.
Yeah. You also add Harry Kane into the mix. And for Zaha, you switch him out and bring in Sigurdsson.
Oh, okay. It'd be a shame, though. He's such a worthy player.
So the final lineup is a 3-5-2.
Yeah.
Which is Heaton, Cahill, Alonso, Azpilicueta.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah. Sanchez, Ali, Eriksen, Sigurdsson, King, Kane and Lukaku. And the subs bench is Nordfeldt, Kingsley from Swansea, Britos and Crouch.
Have you picked the bench on the basis of them being really, really lowly priced?
They're low priced, but Britos scored 71 points, Crouch scored 79 points.
And Nordfeldt is one of the worst players I've ever seen live.
Yeah, but he's goalkeeper. You're only ever going to use one goalkeeper in a season.
That is true. And he usually comes on about 85 minutes when I'm having my second pie, so I'm not really focused.
That squad bought at the start of the season would have cost you £99.9 million. And left untouched would have scored you 2,185 points.
Crumble it off my bones.
Is an actual dream team. Oh. This dream team.
Stat attack all over that, Mike.
Stat attack.
So wicker stats.
That is what you need to be looking at the start of next season. Who provides the pound per point value?
I want someone to start with that team right there next season.
Well, some of them might move to other leagues.
That's fine.
It's a big statement what you're making.
And some of them will be worth more, and Peter Crouch might finally retire to run his castle in the
Not
sky.
Not just anyone, you will start.
I will start. Okay, fine.
That is your role.
I've been listening back to the podcast and working out what it is.
That is the GTOP team. That is our
official
show team,
dream team.
Which we didn't get in this time.
There's no club represented more than three times.
Yeah.
It comes in under budget.
That's a proper dream team.
Yep.
Well done. I'll tell you what, I'm going to shake hands with you, my friend, because that's what we do on radio.
Yep.
For GTOP, is that
the most significant moment of the season so far?
Matt shaking my hand.
No.
Well, it depends. If he washed his hands. No.
Is that dream team the most significant moment, do you think, of what we've done here?
Oh, you mean in this? I think that might be the best piece of insight we've ever given, which saddens me.
which, to be fair, is a little bit too late as the season is finished.
Can I give you one that I think you'll really like, though? I'll give you two little ones that came out.
That we hope you really like.
Negredo
is
my favourite because his points cost exactly £50,000.
Oh, that's nice. And I enjoyed every single one of them.
And who's better, Eric Wijnaldum or Raheem Sterling?
Wijnaldum.
They're exactly the same.
Really?
They both cost 8 million. They both got 149 points.
Imagine them sharing the same. Imagine them sharing a flat. One of them ludicrously effective.
Yeah.
Another one, wasteful final product. But yeah. They're an odd couple. One of them keeps his milk in the fridge. One of them keeps his tomato ketchup in the cupboard. So, interestingly, just one stat about it. Well done over that. Fantastic.
Thank you.
We were looking at other ways in which you could choose the best manager of the season, mainly because we are clearly not the best managers on the points-based system.
Absolutely.
But profit and financial stability could be a thing. You remember when Wenger was trying to pay back for the Emirates being built? He put himself through that. Tony Pulis has said, have you had a good season? He said, yeah, we're going to finish with a great financial statement for the year. And so my job's done. You know, and the fans find that tricky. We're saying Man United said that the Adidas sponsorship value that they would get from winning the Europa League and Champions League was more important than the trophy itself.
That's what gets fans passionate, the balance sheet.
Turns out it was a great win. It was one of those weird things where you can't not support Man United at that time. And they were so... But tonight, I think it'll be an amazing Champions League.
I found a way.
It'll be an amazing Champions League, though, next season. Because all of the English teams are going to lose so easily.
Yes.
It's just going to be so great. But it's interesting when you look at that. So I was looking at the
financial...
But
what are Arsenal fans going to do when it comes to the quarterfinals? They're going to just feel like something's missing. Why don't I feel sad today?
Yeah, devastating loss. It's like, it's like a billion voices crying out at the same time. And we're suddenly silenced. So if we're looking at the finances, you say squad value and in the bank. So the top... value if you sold all your players because the value went up because you picked players cheap and they went up. a guy called McMoisen on the fantasypremierleague.com ended up with £118 million.
He should win something.
He should win something. I think he should win because he's been the best financial privacy manager of the whole thing. If it did,
he should get £18 million.
Let me ask you. I mean, so Graham Billing, friend of the show, his squad value ended up at £104 million, and he's got 0.4 in the bank, so he's made some great choices. Gary Bundy, friend of the show again, £102 million. So anybody's getting over 100, whereas I've taken a different tack of mine in that my I've got in the bank for the entire season. I've got £12.7 million.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's wow.
Yeah, I know. It's because of my principle as well, picking
so,
up.
Yeah, so you decided to have an Aguero in the bank.
Yeah, so I've got 80. So that just shows how easily I could have won.
Yeah, like, yeah.
It's because my squad value was 87 million. I got 12.7. So
you could have bought Alexis Sanchez and bought him a yacht.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? You know, so Sadek had 96.3. You had 97.4.
Oh, yeah, I made some terrible deals. What is it they say? Buy high, sell low.
Is it? Well, that my share buying strategy is going to have to be radically done.
That's what I've been doing.
Best share price on paper.
Pretty sure the Wolf of Wall Street also endorses that as well.
Shall I go through my final stat attack and then we've got a little awards, Mike?
Yeah, sure.
He says furiously looking through to where it is. I'll go really quick.
Final stat attack.
Okay.
Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Stat attack.
So these are my favourite stats of the year, going through them quickly. Tottenham's goal difference of plus 60 is the highest ever by a team who did not win the title. Ha 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 ha.
Stat attack.
Hull City spend one day on the top of the Premier League. That's more than 14 other teams. Tottenham.
Stat attack.
Tottenham never top. Fantastic.
Oh, God.
Arsenal, 75 points. Most for a team finishing fifth in the Premier League era. Ha ha ha.
Stat attack.
And Leicester finished on 44 points. That's the lowest total of a reigning English top flight champion since Liverpool in 1902.
Well, Liverpool finally got that monkey off their back.
Yeah, thank goodness. Like, my family watching that season ticket in 1902. Yeah.
Though that 42 points was probably in a 28-team league.
That is true, yeah. One of them being Eton.
Yeah, but it was only 1 point for a win.
An all-time low of 11.6% of goals this season were scored from outside the box.
Boom! Dull fuckers.
Shoot it. Stop trying to pass it in. Coutinho scored the most. That's 15. And Liverpool the most as a team. That's why I support them.
Stat attack.
An all-time high 3.7 yellow cards per game were given out. I don't know how many of those were for taking your shirt off or jumping into the crowd.
Yeah.
I think we can both agree too many.
Yes.
Stat attack.
And not enough for nearly killing people. Marcus Rojo.
That's true. Arsenal, amazingly, scored more headed goals than any other team with 17.
That's stat the attack. With Arsenal. They just try and head it in.
Hey!
Dimitri Payet created more chances than any other West Ham player, despite his final appearance being on January the 2nd.
That's remarkable.
It's like Robert Snodgrass finished the season top scorer for Hull.
It's just incredible. On that note as well, Sacco, he's up for Crystal Palace Player of the Year and he's probably going to win it. He's only played 8 times.
Point of interest.
Oh, come on, Mike, it's better than
that. It's not how often you play, it's the impact you have.
And then in substitute news, so Guardiola only named an unchanged lineup twice for Manchester City.
Stat attack.
Conte used all 3 substitutions in every game this season.
Stat attack.
We've heard that already.
I think we might have had, but it's so good I'm going to do it again. It's like New York.
Yeah.
And then the final one, John Terry.
Boom!
Talked about last week.
Dirty
netted
cunt.
Netted in each of his past 17 top flight campaigns.
Yeah. Stat attack.
And we didn't do this week, did we? We didn't do this last week. We didn't do this last week. Well, you scored more career goals than Leicester. Yeah, that's just what I needed. There we are.
Stat attack.
Thanks, everybody, for just ruining my stat attack.
Well,
there we are.
You ruined it yourself by being too drunk last week to remember.
I didn't say they were new. I said they were the best. Although, to be fair, that was wrong. Anyway, our awards.
Woo!
Go and see, we've got 8 minutes left of the entire season.
Yeah.
So,
I just say La La Land for every one of them?
You can't have it. But, I mean, you've got to give a bit of diversity in there.
Yeah.
We weren't after our cost. So, our awards. This is for players beyond just total points. So, I'm going to start off with one for you, Rob. So, this is the award for player most likely to lead into an anecdote about Leeds.
Okay. It's I'm going to say that's the ever reliable Mr. Jimmy Milner.
That's it.
Great player. Love that guy.
No, the winner was, in your arms, any player in whatsoever.
Well, I can twist a story.
A fifth cousin from removed has played for Leeds.
He once played on the Elland Road pitch, you know.
That is true. And we've got Mike's award for player he didn't know anything about at the start of the season but now likes.
Oh.
Hazard's first name is Eden.
Fact.
Didn't know that before the start.
No,
now I do.
No. It's been very much like an Eden project.
Yeah.
Hey, there we are, getting a joke in late in the day. What's your another one? What's your, been your DJ moment of the year, Mike?
I think Andy C's 13-week residency at XOYO in January was quite impressive. He did 13 weeks back to back.
Yeah, and that's a lot of pressing buttons and switch and taking one headphone
doing the
off your ear,
all that kind of stuff, like you're doing at the moment,
and pretending that you're not just using a playlist on your iPod.
Yeah. Yeah. About Andy, and he always just tries to walk in.
Fucking button monkeys.
There we've got.
He's a West Ham fan, by the way.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh well, if he is ever on the lookout for a cheap ticket.
Yeah, I'm surprised you don't bump into him when you're both avoiding West Ham games.
if he enjoys a pie, then there's always three in that queue, and it's always the same. Always give him a wink. A final one for me. So, Bundo's award for hardest working, most honourable professional, drawn from a team outside of the top four. Not okay. Following a pointless rule system at all.
Yeah, yeah.
I think an honourable mention for the ever-present Leighton Baines.
Ah, yeah.
Who's been a mainstay of shows. It's got to go to Gareth McCauley.
Yeah.
Absolutely astonishing. Astonishing player.
Made it into the bargain bin dream team.
Yep. Great professional. Absolutely superb. The worst signing or decision we made all season?
Keeping Rooney in for so long. He was basically at the beginning of the season I pressed auto select. He was there. I go, oh, I know that name.
Yeah.
And I kept him in for way too long.
Yeah, tricky.
Well, I don't know what I did on game week 28, but I scored 10 points.
Yeah, that was that the one when you were away?
It might have been.
Spent hours looking at it.
Yeah.
Mine was definitely the madness of Negredo triple captain. And what was described at the time, I believe by you, as a ballsy move, did not do it justice. But so FPL Golf Player of the Year, this has been the most hotly contested award of the season.
Do we want to talk through what the FPL Golf is? Very, very briefly.
So yeah, so FPL Golf is a game that we created. So that is trademark, good team on paper. And that is that you had to get the lowest scoring players, but they had to play. This is the point. You couldn't just pick players who were sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah.
So by that token, Sebastian Prudel for Watford, in terms of a one-week performance, and I had him in, so this is why it's particularly bitter about it, he got -1 from a double game week in 37, red card and conceded 4 goals. That's astonishing.
Yeah.
A brilliant performance from the young man. That's like a hole-in-one on the 18th. Absolutely incredible.
That's like getting a hole-in-one on every hole.
It's true. It's absolutely incredible. Jesus Navas, who's been let go by Man City now, he's had his third successive goalless season. He goes 115 matches without scoring.
He's only averaging about 20 minutes a match, though, isn't he?
And he's awful. But the Jack Rodwell, though, can beat that. If you remember, this was our stat kind of in the mid-season.
Yeah,
he set
a
Premier League record, most consecutive games without a win, 39.
And I'll tell you what, Ross Barkley, if you want to know what the future holds for you, it could be that.
It definitely
is
that.
It could be, you look at Wayne Rooney and you think, he's got 300 grand a week, he's idolised, he's England captain, he's their highest ever scorer, and you think, I can do that as well. But look at Jack Rodwell. He was the next Wayne Rooney before you were.
Yeah, he was. Think on.
Yeah.
But the winner of the Golf Player of the Year,
drum roll,
because he played, is a man that I enjoyed seeing. He is Declan Rice from West Ham, because he was finished bottom of the players who actually played during the season, which is the technical definition of fantasy Premier League golf. He got 1 point for coming on for 1 minute in the last game of the season when I was on my way out of the stadium and I was the last one in there at West Ham. So well done to him. He's got an ICT index of 0.1 and was split by zero managers in the entire game.
Oh,
well done, my friend.
For the whole season.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. Well done, Declan.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Proud of you.
Look forward to seeing way more of you next
season. And the thing is, though, he might be one of those that in 15 years, he's down the pub telling his friends, I played for West Ham once.
All right, for the last 2 minutes, the most significant moment of the season.
Okay, big one. You've put down a big marker for Costa.
I think Diego Costa not getting the red cards he should have had at the start of the season determined where the Premier League went. It's not just for fantasy Premier League, it's for the actual trophy.
Well, I've got an interesting one on that thing. I think the most significant moment of the season was Nathan Ake scoring for Bournemouth against Liverpool, that last minute win, because I think up until that point Liverpool genuinely believed in a kind of almost Leicester-like rise to it. I genuinely believe this is not just a bitter Liverpool fan. I believe that we would have kicked on. It's either that or us realising that Roberto Firmino could be pronounced as Hear me.
Hear me now.
Fear me now.
Bobby.
Adam Lallana.
Oh, good times.
But I'm also going to throw in... I have to throw in there Marcus Rojo as well, because one of the games that he should have been suspended for, he marked Harry Kane out of the game.
Fact.
And Spurs came away with 1 point, whereas if they'd come away with 3 points, it would have changed... It would have transformed the whole mood of...
Was that when Harry Kane got his injury as well, or was that
Harry Kane got his injury in that game or the game after? I mean, it was.
I think Costa. We'd have to say is the most significant moment of the season so far.
They, so early on as well. Actually, the most significant moment of the season was actually getting me involved.
There we are.
In playing football. Anyway,
well done, Costa.
We're coming to the end of the show.
And the end of the series.
I just want to say a lot of thank yous. Thank you to Rob, to Bundo, and to Deckett, who's not here at the moment. Also to the studio producers, Ali Shane as well. Thanks to Fubar for having us. The music that we've been playing all the way through is Heartbeats by Gravity Ghost. Any other thank yous you guys want to say?
I'd like to thank Howard Wilkinson for delivering the league title to Leeds United in 1992.
I'd like to thank Mike for doing a shameless plug for commercial music at the end of a very, very clean show.
Anyway, I've been Mike Swain.
I've been Gordon Strachan.
I've been an embarrassment to my family.
Yay!